بسم الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، last week I talked about tawakkul, about how we can confirm in ourselves the meaning of إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. And I promised to continue by talking about the meaning of qada and qadar, how we understand destiny. And I had other thoughts for this week because I had discussion with a brother and he wanted to know, or I found that he has a misunderstanding about Tawheed Asma or Sifat, about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since this brother is not around now, probably we should finish our topic and maybe postpone the other topic till a later time, inshallah. So we talked about tawakkul. We mentioned that tawakkul is not as many people understand it, that it is something which you do it only in case of worldly matters, tawakkul, or depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not to be done for worldly purposes only. You depend on Him to help you, whether in this world for things which have to do with this world or for things which are for the hereafter, like worships. We ask Him to help us to perform our worships in the best manner, like the dua that we were taught by the Prophet ﷺ to mention after at the end of our prayer, which is Allahumma anni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa hasni ibadati. O Allah, help me. I ask you for help. I depend on you for help. Anni, help me to mention you, remember you, ala dhikrika wa shukrika, thank you, and to worship you in a good way, in the best way or in the good way. So this is the true dependence, that you depend on Allah in all your matters. Tawakkul, or depending on Allah, is in matters of deen or in matters of dunya, or in matters of this world. And I mentioned that people are on four categories in understanding tawakkul, or in applying it. The first category, apply it, think that tawakkul is something which is only to be, it's like dua. They think that tawakkul and dua are things which you do, but they do not change anything of the destiny. So it doesn't matter whether you say it, you do it or not. It is better to do it because they think it is a ibadah, a worship. But they don't understand that it in itself is good to help you reach what you want if you depend on Allah in the proper way. It helps you to reach your goals. They don't understand this. So they worship Allah, they believe in Him, they worship Him. But on the other hand, they forget to depend on Him and trust Him to help them to offer their worships better and to reach better things in this world and in the next world. The other group of people ask Allah to help them in things which they want, not in everything, in things... I mean, they are too dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not understand the correct meaning of dependence. They think that depending on Allah means that you do not do anything. You just wait for example, providence to come to you while you are sitting at home and things like that. So they depend on Allah, but they do not want to work. The first group, they work, but they do not depend. This depends, but doesn't work. And you said that there is a third group which doesn't neither depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nor worship Him. And these are, we said, the worst people. And the final group, which is the best one, are those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work as He orders them and as He is pleased, and at the same time they depend on Him to help them in reaching their goals. These are the four groups of people. Now, I said that to understand this subject more fully, we have to understand the divine destiny, Qadr. And we had indeed a few questions in the past about the meaning of destiny, so inshallah now I'll try to explain a little bit about that. Some people think that tawakkul and dua, that is depending on Allah and asking Allah for things, for supplication, that is, they think that these things do not do any good and they do not prevent any mishappening from falling on them. They think this is only a worship. You make dua to Allah just to worship Him. But that doesn't mean that if you make dua, then something which has been predestined will be changed. They think that things which have been predestined have been predestined, and that is it. So whether you make dua or not, it is the same. But they think it's good to make dua just to worship Allah, not for its other uses as well. And the same for tawakkul, for depending on Allah. Whether you depend on Him, feel that you trust in Him and that your full dependence is on Him alone or not, it would still be the same result. You would never change anything of the output. Because they believe that things have been already predestined, and so there are no means that can change what has been already pre-written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their misunderstanding is that they did not know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined things, that doesn't mean that He predestines things without predestining their causes as well. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's going to happen. And He knows as well that this cause will lead to that result. So He knows that this is going to happen because you did such and such a thing. So Allah knows that, for example, you will overcome a certain obstacle because you are going to make dua to Him. So the dua has been predestined as well as the result has been predestined. So the cause and the result are predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the result. So if you do the cause, then you'll reach the result because this is what Allah, the way Allah made things, that a result doesn't come without the means to reach it. So you have to take the means. Actually, the way they understand things is very wrong, as we'll show very soon. First, we see what the Prophet ﷺ tells about this matter. He was asked about this subject many times, and he always gives similar answers. Of that is what he was asked by Umran, what is reported by Umran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu. He said, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, are the people of the Jannah known from the people of Hell? Are they known to Allah, that is? Or are they still not known who is going to enter Jannah and who is going to enter fire, Hell? He said, yes, they are known. They said, so why should we work? If everybody is known, this is known to be of the people of Jannah, this is going to be of the people of fire, of Hell. So why do we care now to work? We are going to go to wherever Allah has predestined us to go. So why should we work? He said, his answer was, كُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Everything will be facilitated to what it has been created for. That is, everything has been predestined, but there are things which will lead to it that are also destined with it. So the causes and the means are as well there, and Allah will facilitate things to the person who is going to enter Jannah so that he does good deeds so that he enters Jannah, and one who is going to enter the fire will behave in the wrong way so that he'll enter the fire. So things will be facilitated for everyone so that he will reach the destiny which has been predestined for him. And also, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, we were in a funeral in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. We sat with him. He had a stick with which he was moving the earth. And then he raised his head and said, there is no soul. There is no soul, but It is well known, it has been written down, prescribed, where is its place, whether it is in fire or in paradise, whether it is in Jannah or not. That is well known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also prescribed whether it is going to be a happy or a sad soul. Then a man of the people who were sitting around said, O Prophet of Allah, so why don't we rely on what has been prescribed and stop working? Because whoever is from the people of happiness will eventually reach happiness in this next life. And whoever is of the people of sadness or of misery will reach that misery. He said, no, you should work because everything, اَعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Work because everything is going to be facilitated, things will be facilitated for everyone until he reaches what it has been created for, until it reaches its destiny. Those people of happiness things will be facilitated for them so that they reach happiness. People of sadness or misery, things will be facilitated for them so that they reach the misery. I'll explain inshallah more in a little while what this means. And then he read this ayah from the Quran. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنْيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَقِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنْيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعَسْرَى. Which means, this is in Surah, I think it's in Surah Al-Layl, وَالَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. It means, the one who gives away from his wealth, that is, and who is fearful of Allah, and who believes in the good things, that is, he has the right faith, we will facilitate him, we will make things easy for him and smooth so that he will reach the good thing. Yusra, the kind end, that is. And the one who is, who doesn't give away from his wealth and who doesn't follow the faith, who turns away and who denies the good that has come to him, that is the faith, we will facilitate things for him so that is, we let him undertake the means that will lead him to al-asra. Asra means the tough end or the bad end. And also the Prophet ﷺ was asked, O Messenger of Allah, there are medicines which we use to cure ourselves with. Does it change the destiny of Allah? That is, if Allah already decided that I'm going to die, why should I take a medicine? Or if it is known by him that I'm going to be well anyway, so why take the medicine? Does these medicines have any effect? He said, it is of the destiny of Allah. That is, it is part of the destiny. These means which we take to reach certain ends are part of the destiny. So we should always take the means that we are sure they are the proper means to lead us to the right ends. So this meaning has been repeated by the Prophet ﷺ in many hadiths. And he showed that if Allah predestined things, if he prescribed things, if he knows in advance who is going to be happy and who is going to be miserable, this doesn't mean that the happiness of this one is not going to be with good deeds. It doesn't mean at all. It has to be with good deeds. And the misery of the other one is not going to be in bad deeds, by means of his bad deeds. It is going to be by means of his bad deeds. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how things are going to go, to take place, and he writes down things according to that. He wrote down things in the eternity, how they are going to take place, because he knows every detail. He is the knowledgeable, the all-knowledgeable. Now, some people, I don't know if I clarified this point enough. I hope so. Now, if you find that it is still unclear, you can ask questions, of course. Now, some people do not understand well some of the ayat of the Quran. And that is why they mix between destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other things, as we'll see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what the scholars classify as two kinds of destiny. The destiny which is called creation destiny, you can call it. And the other one is the religious destiny. That would be literal translation. One is the creation destiny and the other is the religious destiny. And people mix between these two destinies many times so that they do not understand the verses of the Quran and the Hadith in the right way. Some of the ayat which have been, which are in the Quran, which talk about destiny, mean one, some mean the other. And that is why people sometimes have difficulty in making distinction between the two. Al-Qadar al-Dini, the religious destiny, means what Allah loves. It is things that Allah loves and accepts, and the things that He enjoins, He orders people to do, whereas the creation destiny means the things which are according to the general will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can call them creation will and religious will. He has a general will, which is the creation will, that whatever He wills, He does. Nobody can stop Him from doing what He wants. This is His general will, or His creation will. That is, once He wants to do something, nobody can stop Him. As He says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. If He wants to do something, all what He has to do is say, be, and it is. He doesn't have to do more. Nobody can stop Him. Nobody, He won't ask anybody. Nobody is going to answer Him and to ask Him or require from Him why you are doing this, why you are doing that. Once He decides this, it is going to be. This is His general will or His general destiny or His creation destiny. The destiny or the will of creation, that He wants to create something or to do something. The other will is the will which is the religious will. That is, He wills something means He loves it. Allah wills me to do such and such thing. It doesn't mean that He forces me to do this thing. It means that Allah is satisfied with me when I do this thing. This is the other kind of will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is mentioned in the Quran. And people sometimes mix between the two wills. When Allah talks about this will of the religious will, that is the things which He is satisfied with, people think He's talking about creation will or the general will, and the other way around. I'll give examples so that things become more clear. For the general will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, first for the religious will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah orders or commands people to be just. He orders or enjoins justice. Ihsan means perfection of things, and giving money to the relatives. This is something which Allah orders. Does it mean that Allah forces this thing to take place? We know the answer. Everyone knows, of us know the answer. Allah doesn't know force people to do this, because we know that many people disobey that. Many people do not, the majority of people are not just. The majority of people are not perfect in their deeds. The majority of people do not give to their relatives, right? So this is an order of Allah, but this is disobeyed. It doesn't mean, whereas if it is His creation order, once He makes the order, it has to take place. Like I give you an opposite ayah of the creation. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The one I just mentioned. His order is only that He says be and it is. This is His order. But you noted that these two ayat are talking about different things. One is talking about the order that of creation, that if He wants to create something or to have something take place, He just say be and it is. The other kind of order is His order that He orders us, He orders people in general to do not to do this and not to do the other thing, and it's up to us to obey or not to obey. So people mix between these two things many times. They think that Allah is ordering us to do such and such things, so we are forced, so we not have any power. So why should we care about our deeds? It is the will of Allah, that's what they think, or it is the destiny of Allah, we have no hand in changing it. This is because they mix between the two kinds of wills. They mix between Allah's general will and this particular will when He's talking about His will or His order to people to obey Him. Another example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. which means Allah certainly obeys you, Allah certainly orders you to return the trust to their, to people. That is, if people have given you something, put something in your trust, you should return the thing to them. Allah orders us to do this. And this is what kind of destiny, what kind of will, do you know? Does anybody have an answer? Is it the general one or the specific one, the religious one? Religious, why? Because it's disobeyed. Many people can disobey it. So this is not the general destiny. It's not something which everybody has to do. Allah does not force us here to do the thing that He wants. He leaves it open for us and judges us later according to what we do, whether we do it as He wants or not. Another example, يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah wants from you or for you the ease, and He doesn't want for you the hardship. Is this religious or general will of Allah? Why?
To make something hard for you that could be easy.
Exactly, that is it. Because many people make things hard for themselves. Allah showed us the clear way. He showed us Islam, which is the best way, which is the easiest way. And with Islam, He wants for us the ease. And He doesn't want to make things hard for us. But many people choose to turn away and to choose the hard way, which will lead them to hardships all their life here and in the hereafter. Okay, another example. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. If Allah wills it, He wouldn't have let them fight with each other. But Allah does whatever He wills. What is this? Is it the religious or the general will of Allah? Why? Because He says that this is something which He forced, which he does, and He says Allah can do whatever He wants. So this is His general will. He can force things to take place as He wants. And this is His general will. He willed them to fight. As you notice, this doesn't mean that if Allah willed people to fight with each other, it doesn't mean that one of them will be sinful because he fighted and the other will be not, or will not be, or the two parties will be sinful. It doesn't, when Allah forces something to happen by His general will, this doesn't mean that there is any merit which comes out from that for any group of people. For example, if Allah wants a catastrophe to take place in a certain region, for example, then a catastrophe to take place somewhere. This doesn't mean in general, I mean there is exception to this, but you do not have to go to the details. It doesn't mean that everyone who is hit by this catastrophe is going to be rewarded, or the other one will be punished who is not hit by it. This is when Allah sends or forces His general will, this from this doesn't follow any reward or benefit for people, except if He wants to give them additional reward, that is for Him. But in general, there's nothing like that. Whereas when Allah orders something, the other kind of will, with the other kind of will, that is, if He wills something to take place from us, if He shows us that this is what He will, this is what He wants us to do, then if we disobey, we are sinful and we are subjected to punishment for that. So in this case, it was about fighting. Another example, Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wants to clarify things for you and to guide you to the ways of people who were before you, the good people who were before you, and to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. Is this His general will or His particular religious will? Allah wants to show you, to guide you, to clarify for you, to forgive you. Is it general? Why? Why do you say it's general? Why do you say it's religious?
Because Allah wants to forgive us. So he made this will.
Does his will take place every time? It doesn't take place every time, because we know that many people are not forgiven. He wants to forgive us. He wants to show us the way. He wants to guide us. But many of us don't accept that. So this means that this is his religious will. He will this for us, but we do not want it. Many of us, I mean. So this means that this is not, he's not talking about the religious, the general will. He's not forcing everybody to be forgiven. He's not going to forgive everybody. Another example. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Your Lord has decreed that you do not worship anyone else besides Him. Is this religious or general way?
Is that general?
If it is general, this means that everything in the whole universe has obeyed this will of Allah. Allah's will, general will, cannot be disobeyed. Do you find that everybody is worshipping Allah alone? No, there are many disobediences, many disobedient people. So this is his religious will. He decreed this, he wants this to take place, that only we worship him alone only, but he doesn't force us to do that. So many people disobey.
I'm not clear. Can you give me the definition of general religion?
Okay, I'll say it again. I thought it would become clear by examples. The general will means the thing, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that cannot be disobeyed by anybody. It cannot be changed. It has to take place as He wills.
Religious will
is what? The religious will means what He wills from us, what He is pleased with if we do, what He shows us, but we have the choice whether to take or not.
Okay.
So this is the difference between the two.
In Arabic, this is a concept that's been around before. And in Arabic, is it a certain type of will and another certain type of will? Or are the two different terms?
No. In Arabic, they are the same term. That's why I was giving ayat, which use the same words, which have opposite, which mean the different words. In one of them, for example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah يَأْمُرُ. يَأْمُر means orders people to be just. Whereas the other one is إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا يَقُولَ لَكُمْ فَيَكُونَ. Which means his order is like this. When he says to something be, it is. Amr, he uses the same term, Amr, which means his order is like this. When he says to something be, it is. Amr, he uses the same term, Amr, which means order in both cases. And in one of them it means something, in the other it means the other thing. That's why scholars, when they discuss the matters of Qadr, of destiny, they try to clarify things to people, tell them that when Allah talks about this, He is not always talking about the same subject. There is a distinction which you have to understand well, so that you do not misinterpret the Quran. Because you find many, many times that Allah is talking about a disbelieving people. He says, and they disbelieve, for example. What means that? They disbelieved, and for this, their disbelief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them into fire, and Allah does what He wants. Something like that. So this doesn't mean that this is his general will. I mean, the last will is his general will. He does whatever he wants, of course. But this doesn't mean that he forced them to disobey. So people mix between the two matters, and from that they conclude that, we are obliged to do things. Things are destined upon us, so we cannot change them, so why worry? And they even get to the point of saying that Allah is unjust. Because if Allah has destined things, has written things, He knew them from the eternity. So why is He blaming us for doing things which He knows from, which we had to do without having a choice? Whereas we have a choice all the time, because this will that Allah is talking about it when He's talking about the choice, is the religious will. It's not his general will which forces things to take place all the time. I'll give a few more examples. For example, Allah says, وَحِلَّتْ لَكُمْ بَهِيمَةُ الْأَنْعَامِ إِلَّا مَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ غَيْرَ مُحِلِّ الصَّيْدِ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Which means, the animals have been, animals which are edible, that is, which are halal for us, have been made halal for us except what is mentioned to us, the exceptions which are given to us, what is mentioned to you, and you shouldn't go to hunting, you're not supposed to hunt. Hunting is not allowed when you are hurum, when you are going to make hajj, when you are already in a haram. Hunting after that becomes haram. And then Allah in the end says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah makes whatever decisions He wants. This is clearly His religious decisions. His decision is that this is haram for us. But this doesn't mean that if it is His general will, this means that this will take place, that we wouldn't eat anything except what He allowed us to eat, because this is His decision, and Allah's decisions can never be broken. But as I said, in Arabic we use the same words to mean opposite, different things sometimes. And that is why people fall into this misconception. And even in English you can sometimes use the same expression to mean opposite things like here. So here we are talking about His religious will. Another example, He says, حَرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, which means your mothers and your daughters have been made haram, prohibited for you to marry, that is. This is the kind of prohibition which is religious, because some people did break this decision, this prohibition. Whereas sometimes he uses the word haram, here he uses the word haram. Your mothers and your daughters has been made haram for you. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ. The same word he uses in another place like فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةً عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِهِئُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He's talking about the children of Israel. He said, Holy Land will be prohibited for them for 40 years, in which they'll be lost in the land, in the earth. So he made the prohibition, and he used the word harimat, haram. It's made haram for them. The Holy Land has been made haram for them for 40 years. This is, as you can see, is his general will. It's not the religious will, because he forced it to take place. And they couldn't break this. They couldn't enter the Holy Land until after 40 years. Not even one of them, not even Musa, who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time he didn't enter the Holy Land. So once he has a general will, this cannot be disobeyed or overridden. Whereas his religious will is something open. We can accept it, we can deny it, but so that is, we can do according to it or against it, and we'll be judged according to that in the hereafter. There are many other examples which show the same thing. I'm not going to mention all of them, but I hope that the concept has become clear, the difference between the two wills, so that when you read something in the Quran, you understand what he means when he says it is the will of Allah. Does it always mean that he is forcing us to do this or that?
Why is it called generous and religious?
It is just a term which the scholars use to make the distinction between the two. It is nothing in the Sunnah.
It's not in the Quran?
No. It is something which they use just to make the distinction between the two. So you can call them the general will or the creation will, and the other one you can call the religious will or the satisfaction will, if you want. The will which means, which implies the satisfaction of things.
Is that I'm alone, uniqueness. So this is his general will, because some people cannot accept it, do not accept. So that's why this is his statement that I am alone. It is his general will, or religious, when he's talking about him.
No, we are talking about something else now. If Allah gives statements about himself, This doesn't mean that he's applying his will to himself, or that this has to do with wills. We are talking only about distinction when Allah talks about will in general, or things which imply will, which mean will, like order or prohibition or the words which have been used are these: amr, which means order, or irada, which means will, or idhn, which means permission, or qada, which means destiny, or hukum, which means judgment, or tahrim, which means prohibition, or words, word or words. These are the terms which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to mean either one of two things. They imply the meaning of will. So if he wants something to take place, he permits it, or he disdains it, or he judges or decides that it takes place, or he prohibits the opposite from taking place, or his words would be that this would take place, or his will would be that, or his order would be that thing to take place. And the opposite is for the specific will that we talked about. That implies that he likes these things to be done, but that doesn't mean that he's forcing them. So I'm not saying that everything in the Quran, every word it is mentioned, or every ayah has in it one of these two things. But I'm saying that when Allah is talking about the will, or about a meaning of the will in one of the ayat of the Quran, He's talking about either one of the two, and we have to be clear about which one He is talking, so that we do not fall into mistakes in understanding Islam, and so that we do not fall into the great mistake which people fell into of saying that Allah is forcing us to do things, and then He's going to put us in hellfire for things that we have been forced to do, therefore Allah is unjust. This is what some people believe in, and this is why I brought this subject. Has made this possible. That is, he gave us this choice. The choice is part of his general will, but whether we choose this or that is the particular, the specific destiny, the religious will. That is, Allah wants us to die. This is, for example, at such and such time. This is his general destiny, general will. He wants us to be Muslims, all of us, all people, he wants them to be Muslims. This is his religious destiny. Because some of them obey it, some of them do not obey it. But in general, this whole process of letting the thing open for people, whether to choose Islam or not to choose it, is something that he decreed, that he wanted to take place. He didn't want things to take place. He didn't want people to accept Islam or reject it by force. He wanted things to be free. The choice to be free for them. So that is his religious, his general will, which comprises the specific will. Are there any questions from the sisters? Do the sisters have any questions?
Stop talking.
Can they stop talking? Yes.
Whether we warn them, because we're supposed to warn the people, you know, whether we warn them or whether we do not warn them, they will not believe. Okay. Am I wrong to assume? If I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I rather assume that there are some people, who are born to be murderer. There are some people who are born to be thief. Because this is from childhood, I've seen people from childhood who seem to have these tendencies to want to do wrong by other people.
Okay.
And it grows up with them.
Okay, we talked about this a little before you came. Of course, you cannot judge. Even if a child is bad, he may become the best person before he dies. We cannot know, as Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, that a person may be all his life doing good deeds, and then of a sudden, just before he dies, he chooses to change, and he dies as a kafir. So you cannot judge people by what they are doing now. But what you said is a good question. That is, Allah says in some ayat of the Quran that for example, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنذَرْتَهُمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Whether you warn them or you don't warn them, they will still not believe. Does this mean that Allah is forcing them to be kafirs?
No.
This can never mean that. It means that Allah knows, because we said in the beginning, just before he came, that there is a destiny which Allah knows everything that's going to take place. But he knows it, and he knows the causes that are leading to it. So, if Allah knows that a person is going to be a disbeliever, whether you warn him or not, this is in his own knowledge, and he knows everything, but it doesn't mean that he's forcing things to take that way. But he knows how things are going to be.
It's like there's a story in the Quran that Allah said that he could have made everybody of one mind, like he could have made us all believers, but it was a thing that he made us have to work for what he has for us later. And like this, you know, like that,
yeah.
being the test of our religion, test of our being,
sure.
Test of our belief and our faith in him, and our willingness to strive for that which he has for us over and above what we, you know, what we can have now in this life.
Yeah, jazakallahu khairan. Yeah, that's true. There is an ayah in the Quran which says, for example, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِمُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ, which means, if Allah wills it, He would have made all people on earth believers. And then He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you force people to be believers? Can you, Muhammad, force people to be believers? You can. This, now here, which will is Allah talking about? Is it His general will or His religious will? No, it is His general will. He's saying if he wants to apply His general will, He could force all people to become believers, but He didn't want that to take place. He wanted them to have the choice, and then in the end He says, can you force people to be believers? You can't, because Allah doesn't want that general will to take place so that people will by force become believers. He wants the choice to be open for them so that they can choose, so that He can judge them according to what they do. And Allah is never unjust, as some people try to think. Okay, now there's danger in talking a lot and discussing in great details and thinking all the time about destiny, qadar. Many people try to go into very deep details in talking about that.
What's the danger of that?
Okay. But first, before talking about the dangers, I haven't finished, I'm sorry. To understand again, to make it closer to you, what is the meaning of that Allah has destined things with their reasons. If we see someone who says, I depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who says, I depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have full trust in Allah, and I'm not going to approach my wife, for example. I'm sure that he's going to give me children. This we say is a stupid person, right? Say if someone sits at home and says, I depend on Allah, I believe in Him, I trust Him, and I'm sure that He's going to bring me food. We say he's stupid. So the same thing, if someone says, I'm going to sit at home, I'm not going to worship Allah, I'm not going to do any good deeds. If Allah wants me to be in fire, I'll be in fire. If Allah wants me to be in paradise, I'll be in paradise. This is also stupid like the other two people, because he did not understand the meaning of cause and effect. He does not understand that Allah does not let things take place without their effect. This is his sunnah, which we talked about a few weeks ago, the sunnatullah, that his general law, that things should take place according to a certain pattern which he wants, which he desires, and no one else can change that manner except him. And people, as I said, this leads people to think that Allah is unjust if they believe that Allah is forces people to be believers or not believers and so on. And Allah answered this in one of the ayat of the Quran by saying, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Do you think that we are going to make the Muslims like the criminals, like the non-believers? How can you judge like that? So Allah is telling us that there is no equality between Muslims and non-Muslims, or between Muslims and criminals, or between the الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ, those who commit sins, like the believers. then there's no way we can, Allah will equate these two people. Because Allah knows that every group of people takes the means, goes through the means which lead it to its destiny, which Allah knows as well. So there's no injustice there. Allah knows everything, He knows the end, He knows the beginning, He knows what's going to go, take place in between. And this knowledge doesn't mean that He's forcing things to take place in that manner. And as I said, there's a danger in going into deep details of discussing destiny. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, said, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف ففي كل خير. احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا وكذا لكان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. He said, احرص على ما ينفعك. Try always hard, try hard to get what will be of benefit to you. And depend on Allah. Ista'in billah. Depend on Allah. And don't feel weak. Once you depend on Allah, that is. And if something befalls you, if something that you do not like befalls you, then don't say, if I have done this so and so, that wouldn't have happened, but something else would have happened. But say, whatever happens to you, say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Allah has destined things like that, and whatever He wills, He does. Because if you start saying, لَوْ, if I did this, whatever, and so on, then this will open the way for shaitan. Shaitan will come in and he will start making you doubtful about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why we shouldn't go in details in destiny. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us in this hadith to be very keen on seeking the things which are of benefit to us, which is Islam, of course, and the good deeds, and to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have dependence and trust in Him, to understand the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, the second part, I mean, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, of course, and إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Seeking what is of benefit to us means إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. We worship you, our worship is for you. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ means the other part of the hadith, إِسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek help and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't feel weak once you do that. So it is the same meaning as إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And the same meaning as what Allah says, فَعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Worship Allah and depend on Him. Together, they come together. And everything which helps you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be better in His worship is a worship. So if you go and do your daily business, this is of benefit to you. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us to seek and to be keen to seek. أحرص على ما ينفعك. Be keen to seek what is of benefit to you. What is mostly of benefit to us is the things which are of benefit in the next life, of course. But if we do things which lead us to that, it is also as good. Because, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whatever you do of things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you spend, it will be better for you and give you more ranks for the hereafter, even if the morsel which you put in the mouth of your wife, even that is the food which you give to your family, which is something that you wouldn't expect a reward for, even if you have the good intention that this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a good deed which is given to you, which is written down for you. This is something which is of benefit for you, which you should seek. So this is what I have, and it is over 1 hour now. This is what I have about tawakkul, about qada wal qadar, about destiny, and about the meaning of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that I made things clear and not a little confusing to many of you. أقول هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. Stuff here. Do you have additional questions?
Is haram an example of a word that in Arabic means both good and bad?
Yeah, I gave examples of haram. For example, حَرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتِكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, which means your mothers and your daughters have been made haram for you. And I give the counter example, فَإِنَّهَا مَحَرَّمَةً عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً. The Holy Land will be haram for them for 40 years. So the second haram is something which Allah wanted to take place without any violation, whereas the first one was left open to us whether we want to obey or not.
And a lot of people called this place, in Mecca, haram. And they were told to me some time ago that it's pronounced haram. Haram instead of haram.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, haram means prohibited, because there are many things prohibited there. For example, hunting is prohibited, as you heard. And it is a place which Prophet ﷺ mentioned that it is he said that Mecca has been made for him a halal, allowed for him to enter for only 1 hour in 1 day when he entered it. That was the only time when he is allowed to fight in it. And after that he said, from now on it is haram until the day of judgment. Of course, we know that this is the kind of haram which is can be violated by people, because many people violated this later on, like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, and like, what are they called in Karamita. Yeah. What do you call them in English? What?
I'm just saying, currently somebody occupied that place.
What are they called?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know in Arabic they are called Karamita. Maybe they are the same people you are talking about. But it has been, it was not haram all the time as Allah wants it to be.
Is it, are the two written differently in Arabic?
Yeah, there is difference of alif between the two.
Okay.
Do you have your Quran?
My Quran, why?
I want you to refer to ayat in Surah to Al-Araf.
Okay.
Ayat 44. I don't understand that ayat.
Al-Araf?
Yeah. Ayat 44. That those who forbid people to worship Allah will go to... Does this means that when people discourage you to learn Islam, is that considered same thing in this ayat?
Does it consider what?
Like people who discourage you to go to learn Islam. For instance, tonight we have a meeting here, and they say, "Oh, come to my house and have a party. It's better." Is this considered the same thing in the ayat? I don't understand that ayat when reading it.
Well, this is general. This is very general. It includes everything like that. الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ. Those people will be on fire. This is a group of people who are on fire, as this ayat, these ayat mentioned. This group have been stopping people, blocking people from reaching, from going to the way of Allah, that is Islam and faith and belief. They were stopping people from coming there, and they were disbelieving in the hereafter. So this shows that turning people away from the way of Allah is a great sin in itself, because Allah mentioned it as a separate sin other from the sin of disbelief in the hereafter.
Well, my question is this cover only to the people who fight Islam, or just doing things like this, not promoting that thing? Or?
No, of course, it is general. There are other ayat which, let me see if I can remember any of them now. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى وَعَلَى التَّقْوَى. Allah is warning. Do you see that one? Don't you see to that one? Who? This is in Surah Al-Iqra. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان على اقرأ ربك أكرم الذي علم بالقلم على الإنسان ما لم يعلم كلا إن الإنسان يطغى أن رآه استغنى No, no. Like I'm calling the son of Adam, Ya'alam? Yes. Yeah. كلا إذا صلت رأستغنى إلا إلى ربك الرجاء. أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى؟ أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى؟ أرأيت إن كذب وتولى؟ ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى؟ كلا لأن لم ينتهي نصفعا بالناصية. Which means, don't you see, do you see that one who forbids a person from prayer, turns him away from prayer, he tells him to stop praying, and then later on he warns him, if he doesn't stop that, we'll send on him a nasiya. This is one of the words which mean, Allahu A'lam, the some punishment in the hereafter. So he warns the people who turn away يَسُدُّونَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. He always mentions them in the Quran in different places. Those who turn people away from remembering Allah, from the dhikr of Allah, these always are warned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they do it on small scale, like for example, a Muslim who is simple Muslim and he tries to lead people to the simple way or stop them from going to the right way, or whether he's a kafir who is trying to do it on a larger scale, it is the same. They are always warned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, their punishment depends, the greatness of their punishment depends on the greatness of their sin always.